and welcome to the episode 2 of the NAFcast. I'm Mike, I'm the NAF Media Officer, and I forgot to say last time, but any views expressed in the podcast are my views and the views of anyone else talking on the podcast, not the views of the NAF, not official NAF policy. With me today, I've got Stephen, who's known as Spikey, on the various Blood Bowl forums.
Hello, everybody.
Which is to give people a little bit of a rest from my voice and another opinion and another set of views. I realised what I've been doing since the last time, which is only a week ago or so, I've been listening to a few more podcasts and I've been updating the NAF website, so I've put Bacon Wrap Skulls and Ones on there as well and been listening to their few episodes. They're a new podcast and speak quite a lot of sense and are pretty entertaining. They've been to a few tournaments and review those tournaments. As well as that, I've got Lutèce on there, which is a French podcast, and they're bringing their podcast to a bit of a bigger audience, most of whom don't realise that they're French until they start listening to it, and then get a bit of a shock.
Where's the first podcast from? Sorry.
Where's the first podcast?
Yeah.
The Blood Bowl. The Bacon Wrap.
Yeah.
That's another American one.
Okay.
And the idea of the Bacon Wrap Skulls and Ones is it makes Skulls and Ones go down easier if you wrap them in bacon.
Okay.
And I think they organise a couple of tournaments.
Right.
And the main meal in those tournaments seems to be a hot dog wrapped in bacon.
Can't go wrong with that.
Which seems like a fantastic idea. So as the for this podcast, the idea was on an ongoing basis that we do an audio version of the NAF newsletter. So the various bits of content that are in the NAF newsletter, we'll talk around those and bring a bit more content around those as well. So I've started the NAF newsletter this time around with a review of various team events, because this is a type of Blood Bowl that isn't necessarily very widespread. And with the Euro Bowl next month, it seems like an excellent time to talk about it. What do you know about the Euro Bowl?
Not much, to be quite honest with you.
Fair enough.
Other than the mails that Purple Goo sends to our forum.
He does.
So often.
Well, he does quite a good job. Yeah,
Purple Goo. He does promote it.
Purple Goo's been wandering around the forums. He's the England Blood Bowl team captain, and he has gone to various forums, because each local Blood Bowl league, and I'm sure this is true around the world, has their own local forum. So Cake Bowl's got a forum, Water Bowl's got a forum, and many, many others, I'm sure. And Purple Goo has popped into loads and encouraged people to go to, not necessarily to go to the Euro Bowl itself, but also to go to the Euro Open.
Yes.
Because the Euro Open is a three-person team tournament alongside the Euro Bowl. So the Euro Bowl's quite a unique team tournament, really.
Okay.
Do you know why?
No.
It's because it's
tell me, Mike.
That was a good setup, wasn't it? It's because it's limited. The Euro Bowl is team limited in that.
Okay. So you might qualify for it.
You have to qualify for it,
okay.
And you might think that the World Cup has like a team per country.
Yeah.
But the World Cup is just teams of six, made up of anyone who wants to go to the World Cup.
Okay.
And so you might get a team of six from Cornwall. You might get a team of six from Texas. A team of six from a part of France that I can't think of. Paris. Whereas the Euro Bowl has a specific team of eight representing a country.
Okay.
So this year's Euro Bowl, I think, has got 16. Teams of eight.
Okay, and are you representing Team Scotland?
I am representing Team Scotland, as I mentioned last time, because I'm extremely Scottish. In fairness, my mum's Scottish, and I am Scottish enough to qualify via European rules, so that's fine. And I represented Team Scotland as well in 2008 in Spain, where we did spectacular well. Came about ninth,
that's
12.
Wow.
But the exciting thing about this Euro Bowl, from a Scottish point of view, is that the highest ranked team who hasn't hosted it before gets to host the next time round.
Okay.
So if we look at the sort of the big boys of European Blood Bowl, you've got England and Spain and France and Italy and Germany.
And so it's getting to the point where Scotland might be in with a shot.
That's pretty much it, which is fantastic. Well, we've got Scotland and also Wales with a really strong shot, because they've got a fantastic team. Sweden have got a brilliant team. They took a bunch of people over to Chaos Cup and did really well over there.
Yeah.
And so those three are probably the sort of bookies' favourites to host next time, which is a reasonable good chance of taking
it. Well, that'd be ace, especially if, but for people like me that don't do a lot of international travel for Blood Bowl, if it does come to Scotland or Wales, then that would be...
Absolutely.
That'd be doable.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah.
So alongside the Euro Bowl, in the same venue, there's the Euro Open. And that's got 120 people going to that. So it's got 40 teams of three going along to that. So that's about over 250 people going to this Blood Bowl tournament start of next month, which is in Belgium, in Ostend, which is going to be fantastic.
Awesome.
All sorts of goodies been announced from that. Like you get, everyone gets a free board, and there's going to be free miniatures and lots of free beer, no doubt. The announcers haven't said that, I don't think. But fingers crossed. That should be lots of fun. I haven't been to a World Cup. You haven't been to a World Cup either.
No. No. Maybe one day.
My problem with World Cups is that they are 3 days, which makes it tricky for them to get to them.
Yeah. My problem is that they're generally a long way away these days.
I suppose they are, aren't they? Although Italy's...
it's just, with the family situation, small children, it's a bit difficult to
absolutely
justify. So.
Yeah. So the next World Cup is in autumn 2015 in a place called Lucca, one of the two, in Italy. And they've got space for 1,200 people this time around. So the last World Cup in Amsterdam was 480. So this one could well eclipse that, because I think the 480 actually meant that some people who wanted to go to the World Cup weren't able to.
That's an amazing size venue.
It's quite impressive. I think it's the same venue as like a big gaming convention, and I think it's the week after that gaming convention.
Okay.
And so the idea is that people go to Italy for the whole week. They're imagining that there might be a big crossover between people who like going to gaming conventions and people who like playing Blood Bowl, which is probably a fair guess. We did on the newsletter, we've got a quick review of the other team events. There's the French have Lutèce and Rug Bowl, and then Italy have got the Tilian Cup, and there's the Spanish Dream Teams Cup as well. And then there's a few smaller ones that I know about in the UK. There's the Arbol team tournament. We were on the same team, weren't we?
We were last year, yeah.
Did you go before?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Yeah. And we did all right on day one, didn't we?
I think so, and then we
collapsed. Horribly wrong on day two for some reason. But that was lots of fun because you had to take two different teams, two different races to the two different days. And which was good for enough stats, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I played with Kemri, which I probably won't play with again for a while.
Oh, why not?
I wasn't very good with him, so...
Did you paint them up?
No, I got a team off someone else, so it's the only Blood Bowl team I have that I haven't painted myself.
The only team you've played with that you haven't painted? Or have you got all 23? Apart from him?
I think I've got all 23 teams, but not all of them were assembled and painted yet. But all the teams I've played with at tournaments, teams I've painted, other than Kemri.
Fair enough. So you're going to have to play with Kemri again, probably.
Probably,
so that they've represented your painting.
Yeah, I need to get myself an actual team to paint up. So.
Absolutely. So the UK Team Challenge is a new team tournament, obviously, being introduced in the UK. It's going to be in York in January. Pippi's organising this one, who was the NAF tournament director until March time, and obviously vastly experienced in organising tournaments, and so it should be a good bash. This one is teams of four, I believe.
Okay.
And I don't think there's any particular restrictions about races. It's interesting with team tournaments, usually. And I think for this one as well, actually, you have to take, every member of the team has to take a different race.
So you can't just all take dwarves.
You can't all take dwarves, you can't all take wood elves. And it's interesting, you do see, I think, quite often a little bit less variety of races. So certainly at the Euro Bowl, almost all the teams will have wood elves,
lizardmen,
undead, Amazons, dwarves.
There
will be the six core teams.
Right.
They have fiddled with the rules for Euro Bowl a little bit, so that tier two teams basically have got a bit of an advantage. So there are going to be some pro elf teams there. There are going to be some human teams there, which you wouldn't necessarily see. I think they're the main two that have got a bonus. Probably high elves as well.
Do they just give them additional skill picks? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Or they've got a double instead of a single.
Okay.
And things like that. But I'm still going lizardmen
because you're doing it this year.
Because I like them.
You want to finish your little banner on your cheerleader.
I do. My cheerleader's lovely. But in fairness, actually, when I joined up for Team Scotland, I didn't specify what team I was going to play. So the choice was made a year ago of what teams people were going to play a year ago, or maybe not a year ago, 8 months ago. And I said, I'm happy to play any teams. I've got all of them. I've played with all of them. And whatever team I get selected to play with, I will play with all year.
Okay.
And see how we do.
Good grief. Are you sick of them now, or are you still enjoying it?
I'm not sick of them, because I quite like winning. and it's difficult to get sick of winning.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good competitive team, aren't they?
They are. So, so the only way in which you get sick of them is in, like, when you think that you're power gaming too much and you think that you should. Because if everyone took Elizabeth and everyone took Undead and everyone took what else, it would be quite dull.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just, yeah, it's fine. I quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
They're good. But I will take a rest after Euro Bowl and probably go Ogres for a little bit because I love them and I've got some. I've ended up with about 30 Grebo buggers to paint up because I got some off you.
Yes.
And then I got some off. Impact miniatures because they were doing a sale and I forgot about those, and then Grebo miniatures did a sale
and I ordered some more
as well, so I've got about 30 of these little things.
Okay.
So if anyone wants any, you know, just give me a shout. but they should be quite fun to paint, and also I've got kids, so I might get them to paint up some as well. The other thing I've got for the kids, did you get those from the Kickstarter, the little halflings?
They were really cheap, six quid for a team. Yeah.
And they've been sculpted by a guy called Al Green, who's just starting sculpting. He said he's basically just doing it for fun, and so he's selling them at cost. And they are 11 or 16, however, identical halflings, but a really good way to get into painting, into blood bowling with your own team.
And they still better than Lego.
I don't know. I looked at doing a Lego blood bowl pitch, but it was really expensive.
Yeah.
So because. To play with Lego properly, you could just put the Lego figure on the base. But I think to play with Lego properly, you'd have to have a Lego pitch.
Right.
And then plug the Lego
That's a bit obsessive compulsive, I think.
Well, a little bit. But it's also incredibly expensive because a board of green costs about £8. And I think I figured out that you'd need about 8 of them to make a Blood Bowl pitch.
Wow. Okay.
And you could get a rather nice Blood Bowl pitch, an actual one.
Yes.
I don't have anything against Lego.
Yeah.
Wasn't there someone going to take Lego to an actual tournament? Possibly the Exeter one someone might turn up with.
Personally, I've got no issues. As long as the positionals are clearly identifiable, I really couldn't care less what they are on the pitch.
No. And there are some amazing Lego creations nowadays, because you've got Lord of the Rings,
you've got all the fantasy and sci-fi stuff to build with.
Yeah, and I've got plenty of Lego upstairs. And people could it might get to a situation where people paint Lego. Because to make
that
it
would be odd.
Really?
I think so. That would be odd. There's no surface detail on it. That would be a nightmare.
I know, but some people like working. Nazgob likes working with a flat surface.
With a flat surface in the freehand.
Yeah.
Oh no.
You don't like that?
No. I don't know where I could put my shade. I always just chuck the Devlin mud all over I paint.
Yes, that's what I do. That's what I do with resistance as well. Actually, made them smell nice for a little while.
Oh yeah, yeah. My stuff smells awful. It smells like cat poo.
Yeah, but no, Devil and Bud is wonderful stuff.
Yes,
that's very clever. What were we
anyway?
Talking
about? So we were talking about the UK
Tour Championship.
Talk about painting. I just noticed from what you sent me, there's a paint Lycos competition.
That is a paint Lycos competition. I did a Lycos.
Did you
see my Lycos?
No.
Oh, I can't. The paint Lycos competition is only for those people. Who are attending the tournament, sadly.
Okay.
Because the painting competition, there was a painting competition at the NAF Championship, which was the dual competition.
Yes.
And you could send an entry into that if you wanted to. But you're not allowed to send an entry to this. This is just for people who are attending. But I've done my Lycos. And what I did was I took one of the NAF shields that you get for winning a tournament, and I cut it out. I butchered it.
Yes, I think I saw this. You've got this really bad habit of taking very out of production and rare models and hacking them apart.
That's my lovely Dungeon Ball Dwarf.
Oh,
Chaos Dwarf team.
Travesty.
I know.
Old anyway, HeroQuest models butchered.
That's true. Yes. The HeroQuest Ogres. They're probably worth quite a lot.
They were.
Yes.
They were.
Yes, but as a. Yeah. But they've got lovely helmets now, so that's nice.
Awful.
But yeah, the paint Lycos. And there a few appeared. So the Lycos figure
Is
a flesh golem representation of the ex-NAF president, because he was NAF president for about 7 years, I think it was, and so to reward his long-serving service, obviously.
Yeah.
They commissioned this figure.
Yeah, they all fail that regen role eventually.
No, but it's a really nice figure. It's a really nice.
I've seen the figure, but can you get them outside? Because I know they were given away at the NAF Championship. Can you get them elsewhere?
They appear on eBay.
Okay.
And I think what they're being used for is they're being used for giveaways, like NAF.
Oh, right. So NAF, there's still opportunities.
Obviously they still exist.
Yeah.
And they will be used as rewards for doing stuff for NAF, I think, is the idea, eventually. So it might be that, and I've spoken to Lycos about this, but not formalised it, that if you contribute things to the newsletter or if you appear on podcasts...
Oh, really? Yeah. There you go.
that you might get a Lycos flesh column appearing through your door.
No, that would
which
be...
Which is quite a scary
yeah.
thought, actually.
It's good, yeah.
But yeah, mine's lovely. It's on a little plinth. And it's got a shield.
So yes, championship trophy.
Yes,
which you have butchered.
I have. I've chopped it up and splashed Devil of Mud all over it as well. Oh. Surprisingly, no, it looks nice.
Yeah.
It didn't
look too bad.
But I know Thadrin did his as a referee, which I think lots of people have got that idea. Someone's got two on a necromantic team, because you have two flesh golems on a necromantic team, and they look quite nice. So there's pictures on. There's pictures on TFF. There's a whole thread of Lycoses, about six on there, I think. And they're quite good fun. I'm sure there'll be a whole gallery after the UK Team Challenge.
So, Mike, tell me about the rule set of the UK Team Championship.
Well, I thought it would be a good idea, rather than just blathering and spouting random dates for what it might be, I thought I'd actually check and what the rules are. So it's January 10th, 11th in 2015. And while there are no rules about composition, so I think the four different players have to take four different races, but the different tiers are awarded different skill sets. So the tier one teams, which is about eight of them, get five normal skills. And then High Elf, Khemri, Necromantic and Human get an extra double. Chaos, Nurgle, Slan, Chaos Pact, Underworld, and Vampire get two extra doubles, and then Halfling, Goblin, and Ogre get six normal skills in total and two doubles.
Nice.
So that's quite an advantage, I think.
Yeah, it'd be handy for the big guys on the stunty teams.
Well, I'm thinking Goblins with a Bombardier is always fun.
Yeah.
But then you've got the two doubles as well, because normally that takes up the one double slot, doesn't it, for a Goblin team. I don't know what you could use. You could put Block on the Fanatic. Something like that, or I don't know. But probably people will probably do stupid things in the past. You know, grab on the Fanatic.
I don't know. I just
actually, there's not a double.
Yeah. Block on a Troll would be very tempting. I think.
It would, but if you're a Goblin player, then you don't take Block on a Troll, do you?
That's,
But you might do if you're trying to be sort of competitive.
competitive Goblin team.
Well, yeah, but did I tell you about Thrud Bowl where I played a Halfling team in round six?
No.
So I'd won all five of my games.
Okay, yes.
And then I'll just slip that in there. And then I was outside packing up my incredibly soggy tent. And when I came back in, there was being a redraw. And in the first round of the draw, I think I'd had a Chaos Dwarf team that I was going to be playing against Peter D, the guy from Germany.
Okay.
Who goes to loads and loads of tournaments. He rides around Europe on his motorbike.
Wow.
And goes to lots of different Blood Bowl tournaments. He's a really nice guy. And I've never played him. I've been at about five tournaments at the same time as him, but never played him. And I thought, that'd be quite fun. But the redraw was happening. And because it was only on points and then random after that, there were about four different coaches on like the next level down of points who hadn't won all five games. And so I got drawn against Quek, the Belgian player who was playing Halflings.
Wow, on your sixth game.
My sixth game, or table one, it was against Halflings.
That's a bit crazy.
It was a little bit. So I won that one.
Yeah.
That was quite good fun. I was worried for a little while, because he's obviously a very good player. He had lots of sidestep, and he had a blocking Halfling.
Okay, a blocking
which
Halfling.
Which is where we went into this, But he only had one blocking Halfling. But I think he might have had something else as well. He might have had like an Ag4 Halfling as well.
Okay.
But then on his trees, he didn't have many skills in his trees at all. He might have had guard. But he did really well. He just sort of trundled forward and I just had to suck up getting punched by a tree like every turn.
Yeah.
And I just had to make sure that I didn't lose a Skinker turn or a Saurus turn. I lost my Croxic on the first turn.
Oh, no.
And then I started to worry slightly. So I think Halflingers and Goblins can be competitive in the right hands. There are some very good stunty coaches around who will often pull off like a couple of wins during during a tournament, if not necessarily a whole tournament win. But I guess Quek must have come fairly close to winning the tournament there. But he's played 200 NAF games with Halflings.
So pretty experienced. So
not just 200 NAF games in total, which is, I think, approximately what I'm on, but 200 with Halflings. So well done. The UK Team Challenge is in York, which is a nice place. And so definitely worth a look. It's the first time it's being run, and there's already French teams going, Scottish teams, Welsh teams, English teams. I think possibly one from Italy, and one from Germany. And all heading over, and each team is going to be representing a country in a way, which is interesting because I know there's a Bristol team going, who've got a few Scottish people in, but they are representing England because they're from England. So one of the guys who's representing Scotland in Europen is then representing England in the UK Team Challenge, which I'm sure he's pleased about. So if we move on a bit, have you got anything else to say about team tournaments? Any questions? Have you done any apart from Arbor one?
No, that was the only one I've done. I've not done a massive amount of tournaments. They've been fairly sporadic as well. So I think my first tournament was 2002, 2003.
Yeah, you went to the
Blood Bowl.
The Blood Bowl. And then it became the Blood Bowl Grand Tournament? Or did it ever become the Blood Bowl Grand Tournament?
I'm not sure. I went to 2003, 2004, I think.
Because you got a ridiculously small NAF number, haven't you?
Yes, I'm in the three-digit club.
In the three digits, yeah. Not too small. 5-2-2 or something. We're in the 20,000s now. Oh, Linus just got his dice the other day.
Really? Wow.
This is my 8-year-old. No, not 8-year-old. 9-year-old. My 9-year-old son. He's going to be 10 soon. And he signed up for the NAF.
And you took him to the Thread Bowl.
We did. We went to the Thread Bowl. He won his first game, which was brilliant.
Impressive.
He took Undead and was up against a Halfling team, which is a local player to us. He played against Andy and Charon.
Yes.
And turned him over.
Oh, no, I'll have to tell Andy that one.
Had he not mentioned that?
No, funnily enough, he hasn't mentioned that he got beaten by a 9-year-old.
No, he did well. And then he lost his next four games. But him losing his next four games meant he got to play on the ship.
Because Thread Bowl.
There's a few tournaments around who have a special event for the bottom tables. Like Arbol have a pumpkin bowl, and Thread Bowl have got a dock bowl, and there are various dungeon bowls around, I think, as well. But just something to play for in the last few rounds.
Makes that last game a bit more entertaining.
It does. Although he was a bit tired by that stage.
I can imagine.
And emotional. And when the dice started going just slightly wrong, we came close to tears. but in general, he was very good. And he won most sporting as well.
Yeah,
so he got
really
certificate.
Good. I mean, even I find that with just, three games
you
in a day is...
You get emotional by the time you get to
game six. Oh, yeah, very, very emotional. But no, three games in a day is... You feel like your head hurts sometimes.
Yeah. And I was driving home after Thread Bowl, and I had a car full of people, and everyone was asleep. Just this 2-hour journey back to Swindon. Everyone crashed out. But I had I was listening to Galaxy in Flames or something like that, one of these Horus Heresy
things. Okay.
Because someone had donated it for the Thread Bowl auction, so I paid 10, 12 quid for it or something for charity.
Okay.
Managed to listen to that on the way home.
Did that cause them to fall asleep?
I know that was... What? No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
But it managed to keep me awake. So it was fairly entertaining.
Fair enough. So, Mike, why don't you tell me about the Blood Bowl community Facebook page? I hear it's got quite a lot of likes now.
What have you done there? It's because the Blood Bowl community has members.
Because
it's a Facebook group.
Sorry.
And the NAF page,
has the likes.
So NAF page has got up to 1,400 likes.
Okay.
For rounding up, which we tend to do.
Okay.
And the Blood Bowl community group has got around 1,250 members. And the thing about the group is that everyone can contribute all the time, and the page is mostly just announcements of things that are happening. So each Friday I use the page to say which tournaments are happening that weekend, which NAV tournaments, which is pretty good, and you get a few likes for that every now and again. But it's interesting, I never really understand Facebook feeds and whether something will appear, and you get all these stats, but it's not clear why something gets lots of likes and all that stuff.
Okay.
It's all very silly. But the Blood Bowl community group is a lot more sort of thriving, really. And people post loads of pictures of painted models on there, and then there are occasional debates. There was a fantastic debate recently where someone posted a video of themselves taken from fumble, scoring a one-turn touchdown. And there was various people going, yeah, that looks fun, well done, congratulations. And then someone chipped in with, yeah, you did that, but actually you could have done it better.
but they scored a touchdown.
They did score a touchdown, but they did not score the touchdown correctly.
Right.
the theory is that there is a way of doing something which has the lowest probability.
Okay.
And if you want to be the perfect Blood Bowl coach, then
you do things with as few dice rolls as possible.
Yeah, a few dice rolls or as favourable dice rolls as possible.
Okay. Yes.
And so I think the specific example, although I did steer away from it mostly, I think the specific example was that the goblin dodged through tackle zones of people who had tackle, rather than dodging through tackle zones of people who didn't have tackle.
Okay.
Which obviously makes it harder to score. Interestingly, as it turned out, I think, because it was quite a small video, even the people he was dodging through the tackle zones of didn't have tackle. Because the guy thought they were dwarves. But actually, they were orcs, I think.
Oh, okay. So this whole argument.
So it might even have been that he did do it correctly. But then the debate moved on, as debates do, as to whether it matters as to if someone did it correctly or not, if they scored.
No. Well, the end justifies the means, surely.
Yeah, I know, just because you scored, it doesn't mean you did something correctly.
Your opponent can just roll ones for several turns and you can score.
Exactly, I think most Blood Bowl coaches are trying to be as good a Blood Bowl coach as they can be. That might be a huge generalisation,
actually.
I don't know, do you think that's true? There are some people, obviously, who play and just say, I just play for fun.
Yeah, but I think the problem is with a probability-based game, you can always hide behind the poor dice rolling as the reason why you didn't win, rather than confronting maybe that you're not as good a player as you might potentially have been. So I think it's better to look at your game and go, I think I made a problem there with my positioning, rather than just going, you know, that crucial blitz on that war dancer, I didn't roll a pow. you know, fate hates me.
I had two dice, and he was choosing.
Yeah.
I could have got two pows there. Although that does happen more often than you would expect.
Yeah.
Statistic-wise. So that was fun. And people post stuff on there. There are various other Blood Bowl groups as well. There's like a Blood Bowl trade group, and then there's a specific Blood Bowl group for boards and pitches and sideline staff as well.
Okay.
I think sometimes groups can get a little bit too specialised, but some people aren't interested in the gameplay, maybe, and are just interested in the fluff of surrounding the miniatures.
Yeah.
And I suppose it might be the people who say, I don't care if I want to lose, maybe they're just interested in painting the models and turn up to tournaments. So just do actually have a laugh, but I don't know. I think you can have a laugh and win and try and win as well.
I just look at the halfling coaches at that point, I think, and just go, you're clearly here for the fun rather than the competitive edge your team
is giving. They love it when they get a win as well.
They do.
Is the thing.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. Now, having fun is the reason to play, I guess.
Absolutely.
Without sounding like an idiot.
Let's do everything to have fun.
Yeah.
Good. What else have we got in the NAF? I sent Stephen the NAF newsletter. So
let's have a look.
He got a sneak preview.
Oh dear, I lost it.
This was supposed to be a great segue. It didn't work.
No worries.
There's the NAF minutes on there as well.
There was also on the tournament update, there was the Chaos Cup.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I think the Chaos Cup might have been mentioned on the other podcast.
Okay.
Once or twice.
Maybe. Yeah, I think I remember something about some quiz.
There was some sort of a quiz, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And that was fun. Did you listen to all the podcasts for the same version of the quiz?
No.
No.
Listen
to it once, but it was good. I quite like that. They've had Blood Bowl quizzes at the Grand Tournament before, haven't they? Like at the Blood Bowl.
Yes.
So, nothing quite like that. But they had ones like quizzes about rules and all that sort of boring stuff.
Yes.
But the Chaos Cup, yeah. Who was it that won the Chaos Cup?
Brian Chew. Who I think is a friend of one of the podcasts.
I remember. Yeah, I definitely recognise the name.
Yeah.
And so I think they were quite pleased to keep the Chaos Cup on American soil after various Europeans had come over and nicked it. No such luck with the Spike, unfortunately, because Jim Jiminy won that one. He won the NAF Championships last year, didn't play this year in the NAF Championships because he was reffing, and then went over and won the Spike. I think he also won the World Cup as well, so he's not a bad player.
It's pretty good going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, and he's won the Euro Bowl. Possibly twice. I'm not sure about that one, but he's definitely won it at least once. A goodly amount of silverware. The other thing was the NAF minutes.
Yes.
Were in there. From July and August, if we put on there. The most interesting thing I thought from there was about the World Cup software. The main software that's used in NAF tournaments is called Score, which I think most people will be aware of. But just in case they aren't, it's a tournament scoring software that allows you to do Swiss-type scoring.
Hmm.
Do you want to explain what Swiss scoring is?
Something to do with cheese.
Yes, brilliant.
You've been quite heavily involved, haven't you, in messing with the Score program itself?
Did you
play around with it?
I have played with it quite a lot in terms of customising it.
Yeah.
So there's the back end where you can sort of decide how it works. But then there's a more front-end thing, which is about how it looks when you press the buttons. And that's more what I'm interested in general. And so I've done a little bit on the NAF website about how to get your tournament shield on there so that when you display the pictures on a PowerPoint or a presentation, it has your shield on there. And I've done a fair amount on putting it onto websites as well. Because one of the fantastic things we had at the NAF Championships was that instead of printing the results and sticking them on the wall on a piece of paper, and we uploaded them to the NAF website. And this had a couple of advantages. One was the lack of crowding around.
Yes.
There was free wireless at the venue, and so everyone just got their smartphones out when it was announced. It wasn't even really announced, it was just a buzz that went round that the next round was up. Everyone just went on their smartphones and checked. But also people from around the world could follow what was going on. So when we have Euro Bowl or the World Cup, a massive one like that, there will be interest from around the world on what's going on.
I think that's much better, because it's always annoying if there's one sheet of A4 stuck on the wall and you've got 30 people trying to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you walk away and then you forget. What I normally do is check who I'm playing, think, oh, fantastic, and then think, oh, what table am I on? Because some people like you to, some tournaments like you to be on the right table, some don't care.
Yeah.
And so I have to go back twice, I'm sure everyone does. I need to go back to this piece of paper. Score is a fantastic piece of software. It's been around for about 8-10 years. But the guy that wrote it isn't updating it anymore. And so when it was first made, Blood Bowl tournaments were reasonably new. But they have moved on quite a bit since then. So there's small amounts of functionality that's missing. And specifically, it can't cope with tournaments above about 120 people,
right? Right.
Or bigger than the NAF Championships.
Yeah.
Like, Score was used this year for the NAF Champs, but once it gets beyond about 200, and for team tournaments, I think there's a maximum of 32 teams. I think that might be a limiting factor as well. And so it looks like the NAF committee are looking into commissioning some new software.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I guess in time for the World Cup next year, because if we're looking at 600, 700 people going to the World Cup, then we're going to need something new for that.
Yeah, that must be a massive logistical exercise for
the World Cup.
For the tourney start, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But supposedly the last World Cup went really, really smoothly. They had runners to get the pieces of paper there as quickly as possible. Every round started on time and finished on time because they had this crazy finishing music.
Right.
But I think they are going to look into some new software. And I think they're trying to get feedback on what we want, what Score doesn't do.
basically, that we would like it to do from a Blood Bowl scoring point of view. So that'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, really.
So let's finish off with a hobby roundup. What are you up to at the moment, Stephen?
Not much, unfortunately. I've got a high elf team that's half painted. I've done 8 linemen. I've got the 4 catchers and 2 blitzers and 2 throwers half painted for Zenilith, who is in our local league. It was his Christmas present last year.
And this is November. No, October. Yes, we're in October.
So about this time last year, I said, hey, I know what, I'll paint you a team up. And they're the Games Workshop high elf figures, which I've already painted a team myself.
Oh, I see,
and
okay.
Swore never to paint another one.
But then offered to.
And then he gave me a team to paint. So and they've been sat there, and I've just procrastinated on them.
But you're normally quite quick, aren't you? No?
Yeah, maybe. It's just that it's kind of caused me a problem. So I've also, I normally contribute to the NAF,
the TFF
Legacy team, which is Nurgle this year, and I've got a Nurgle Warrior.
Have you got a Nurgle Warrior?
No, I haven't even ordered it yet as of today,
it's confession time.
Yes, but that will be done in time for the deadline, so that should hopefully kickstart me. What I have been doing is painting pre-painted X-Wing models and applying paint over the top of pre-painted models, which... I bought into that game because you don't need to paint the stuff.
Right, yeah, that's
and then the first thing I do is I go and paint all my stuff. So
you have too high standards, that's the problem.
Yeah, so that's kind of I've been doing a bit of painting, but I need to get my Blood Bowl paint back and get the painting mojo going again.
I did my Legacy miniature back in May.
Yes, I know.
I got mine.
And I should have. It was like, I'll do it. But I was also not sure which Nurgle Warrior to paint. So I was waiting to see what other people would do. And I don't think anybody has yet put any pictures on there of the other 3 Warriors. So
you might be right.
So that's my excuse.
So you might not be too far behind.
So I'll probably get a Nurgle Warrior ordered or sourced this week and then start painting.
Have you done many Legacy teams?
Yes. Yeah, I've done for TFF, I've done maybe 4 or 5 now, I suspect.
Have you ever won one?
No.
I've won 3.
You've won 3. Something's wrong, isn't it?
I won the first 2 that I entered.
That's good.
I should have stopped.
Yeah.
Then really, but then I did win a water bowl one as well. I won a water bowl one. I took the TFF Legacy one that I won 2 water bowl, and I also won a water bowl underworld one this year.
Pretty good luck.
Well, I quite like going into them as well because I'm not the world's best painter. And so the odds are with me in that I will tend to get a better painted team than I would have if I painted it myself. Whereas you're much better painted than me.
I wish I could be a faster painter.
Right, okay.
I think that my main problem is that I'd like to be able to paint faster and not care so much about the
it's
details.
It's a skill.
And I end up spending more time on the models than I really want to.
I mean,
I'm an okay painter. I'm by no means Golden Demon standard, but I'm okay. Mm. I'm happy with my results, which is the main thing. So when my players are all lying face up on the field, at least they look good.
Yeah. Do you put stuff on the bottoms of the bases? Because when they're lying down, that's when they can look bad, isn't it? If you don't felt the bases or
I don't generally bother with a felt base under it now.
I put coins on the bottom of some of mine. Quite good fun. I've rebased my ogres because my ogres were leaning forward all the time,
right?
And so I kept falling on their faces.
Okay.
And so I've put 2p.
Your hero
coins.
Quest
my
ogres.
Lovely hero quest
oh,
ogres.
Lord.
So the 2 they've now got 2p coins in the bottom, which make them bigger as well, which is quite good fun. But I've also done the same with the Grebo buggers because they're so light, because they're tiny.
Yeah.
So that gives them a bit of heft as well.
Okay.
So reasonably pleased with that. Now I'm waiting for the Impact Kickstarter to come through as well.
Yes, yeah, that should be fun.
I think I've got 3 teams coming through from that. I've got a Pro Elf team to replace my Dungeon Bowl Elves. I've also got a team of the second edition Dungeon Bowl Elves, which I use as Pro Elves. I haven't butchered those.
Good.
Just now.
but they're all exactly the same. So yeah. The pro elves looked really nice. And then I've got a dark elf team coming to replace my dark elf proxy team, because I've got a team of demons,
yeah,
which are really nice. I like, but I like to be able to have a team that I can lend to people and say, these are my dark elves. Borrow some dark elves, which is harder to do with demons. And I can't remember what the other one was. Oh yes, I'm getting the Scotlings.
Okay.
Because I'm very Scottish.
Right, so Scotlings are right down your street.
Yes, so that's going to be fun painting tartan. I've absolutely no idea what I'm going to get around to doing
that. Yeah. Yeah, I've got the, I ordered the Necronomicon, the Cthulhu themed models, and I'm intending to use those as Nurgle, because
yeah.
I think that's one of the few teams I don't have models for.
Yeah, I'll probably get another Nurgle team at some point, because my Nurgle team is Syringit, which is the animals, which works really well for it, but again, it's not a team you can say, here is my Nurgle team. You can turn up to a tournament and say, I'm using these as Nurgle.
Yes, but they make good proxy models, and you know, as long as the positionals are clearly identifiable, they work really well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I'm also I picked up the Apes of Wrath as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What are you going to use those as?
I don't know, because I think you can use them as all Chaos Dwarf
or Norse as well.
Yeah, so
anything you want, really.
Yeah, they look quite interesting, and I also nurse a hope that one day Elf Ball will start off again and that they can be used for that.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah, we never had an Elf Ball podcast.
No, Elf Ball
a niche
died
approach,
sadly.
Yeah. No, it'll come back. I think there
really
is a long term. I think there's a long term plan for Impact to bring it out as a glossy board game.
Yeah.
Swindon was very much the high of Elf Ball, wasn't it? Really.
Yes.
And Anti-Pixie knows that I am the best Elf Ball player in the world by 0.05 of a ranking point or something. I think that's when we stopped playing.
When you got to the number one position, you went, that's it.
No, I was
no
number
more
one.
Tournament,
no, I
guys.
Was number one for a while, and then Anti-Pixie was catching up after
okay,
me.
So then you had to call a halt
to it,
did you?
So I had
to
call the whole thing off.
Right.
Because it wasn't working anymore.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining me on this one. Thank you very much for giving everyone a rest from my voice.
You're very welcome. I don't know how much I really contributed.
I think it was lots. It was good. You'll be welcome back at some future point.
Okay.
After Eurobolt, we'll do a Eurobolt review.
Fair enough.
And you can ask me all about it, and I will tell you about it.
Yes. Okay.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the NAFcast. To keep up to date with all Blood Bowl news, visit thenaf.net, where articles appear pretty regularly throughout the year. You can contact us on officialnaf at Twitter, or on Facebook at officialnaf, and you can email us on officialnaf@gmail.com.